Good morning. I'm very thankful to be here this morning. It is a privilege. I thank the Lord. I thank your church. I thank your pastor. On Friday night, I was on a father-son bonding trip with my older son, and I was struck with a fever suddenly. So I messaged your pastor. I said, "Brother Gabriel, I pray that the Lord will allow me to preach this Sunday at New Life." He said, "Oh dear, I'll stand by." I arrived home yesterday evening, and by God's grace, the fever had cleared. My voice is not back 100%, but I thank the Lord for the privilege to preach here this morning. Indeed, our Heavenly Father cares. Father's Day typically can be bittersweet for some people. There are people in our church who have lost their fathers. They've been called home to eternity. There are some who want to be fathers and yet cannot be fathers. And everyone at a certain point has had a father. And all of us who believe today can rejoice that we have a heavenly father. Scripture says, if your earthly father knows how to take care of you, how much more your heavenly father? Most Singaporean fathers care for their children. To illustrate that this morning, I'll play a short video for you, and our PA will help us play this. It's a short 3-minute clip. I hope will help you appreciate the love of an earthly father.
Daddy is the sweetest daddy in the world. Daddy is the most handsome. The smartest. The most clever. The kindest. He is my Superman. Daddy wants me to do well at school. Daddy is just great, but he lies. He lies about having a job. He lies about having money. He lies that he's not tired. He lies that he is not hungry. He lies that we have everything. He lies about his happiness. He lies because of me.
Very much. An earthly father's love. Where does that come from? Next week you're going to have a Gospel Sunday. Where does love come from? Where does a father's love come from? It is greater than a deep-seated emotion. A father's love parallels our heavenly father's love. The Bible tells us there is only one source of love. God is love. Scripture tells us, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Christians today, those of us who believe, the Apostle John says, this is what status we have in the kingdom of heaven. We are not just servants. We're children. And this is the quality of love our God has bestowed upon us. What is that quality of love? How is it shown? You see, love is not just a feeling. Love is not just saying, I love you. 1 Corinthians 13, the greatest passage of love in the Bible, contains 16 verbs, 16 action words that describe love. Love is not just spoken. Love is shown. It is demonstrated. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, but God commendeth, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, the cross means what it always meant. We never have to doubt God's love for us. Because while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Today, if you doubt God's love for you, think back to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because this is how God demonstrated his love to us. While we were yet sinners, he didn't wait for us to repent. He didn't wait for us to come before the foot of the cross. While we were yet sinners, as enemies of God, Christ died for us. That we who believe, we who accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we could have our sins forgiven and enter into the kingdom of God, not just as servants, but as children. Because the perfect Son of God, he laid down his life, he shed his blood, he took our place. For those of us who believe that substitutionary atonement applies to us, our sins are forgiven, our relationship with God is changed. And yes, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father, he cares. In Singapore, we have many cares of life. And just a quick question, how many of us are working? Well, so few, huh? So few people working. I mean, not today, on Sunday. How many people are working regularly? Okay, how many of you are studying? Okay, what are the rest of you doing? Well, you know, for those of us who go to school, I'm sure when you go to school, your lecturers and your tutors and your teachers, you know, they tell you you don't need to study, don't prepare for exams, just go back and rest, right? They tell you, just rest. Singapore is full of rest. When you go to work, your employer, your boss tells you, your supervisor tells you, just rest. No need to work. You're sick, please take MC. Don't come in. Okay, you want to take leave? No problem. I'll approve straight away. That's the Singapore culture, right? Isn't that the Singapore culture? Say, Pastor, which planet do you live on? Unfortunately, the Singapore lifestyle is now known to be a high-pressure, performance-indicator-driven society. Students grow up in school, and right from the time they enter school till the time they come out and continue their career in work, they are busy. Rest is not something that is easy to come by. We are meritocratic. Cost of living issues affect us. Illness, health, is sick like me this morning. All we live real lives. And there are many cares. But Scripture tells us this morning, 1 Peter 5:7, your Scripture memory this morning, casting all your care, and the word care there means anxieties, upon Him, for He careth for you. Now, this is not a let go and let God shallow sermon. It's not. It's not just those trust God, have faith. The Word of God is a lot deeper than that. There's a lot of depth in Scripture, in simple verses of the Bible. This verse addresses a wrong perspective and attitude. You know, some people believe if I become a Christian, oh, everything will be fine. I will not fall sick. I will not lose my job. I'll be rich. Some people even preach that. We call that the prosperity gospel. And we have people that preach that in Singapore. If you just believe, you sign on the dotted line, God will reward you health, wealth, prosperity. Unfortunately, and fortunately, the Christian life is not a bed of roses. Our text today acknowledges that we have cares, we have anxieties. The context of the book of Peter is about suffering. The theme of suffering is mentioned 16 times in 1 Peter. Half of them refer to Christian suffering. 1 Peter 4:12, for example, says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Think it not strange. Sometimes we think it strange. You know, certain conceptions of the ideal Christian life, full of blessing, full of health and wealth. Oh, but the reality is that Christians do suffer. We do have anxieties. But there's a purpose for all that. 1 Peter 5:10 to 12, at the end of 1 Peter, Peter summarizes his book. He says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein ye stand." What is the true grace of God wherein we stand? This is the true grace of God. Suffering for a little while, and then our perfection through that suffering. That is the true grace of God. A lot of people preach grace without understanding what grace is, truly. You want to understand grace? Read 1 Peter. This is the true grace of God wherein we stand. Yes, we do suffer briefly for a time. Hey, this world is not our home. This world is full of anxieties and suffering. It's a result of what we call sin. If there's no sin, we wouldn't decay. Our bodies would be perfectly whole. We wouldn't die. But oh, after that, you have suffered a while. He'll make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Perfection through the process of suffering. This is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. Peter says, this is what my epistle is about. The blessedness of the Christian life is not an automatic bliss. It is perfection through trials. And while we are experiencing the anxieties, while we are carrying the burdens, the beautiful truth is this, brothers and sisters, we don't carry it alone. Casting all your care upon Him, because He cares for you. We have a Heavenly Father who cares. Notice, Peter says, we have cares. Now, what is he talking about? The same word care is found in the verbal form throughout the New Testament. It's found in mainly three different contexts. The first is a famous passage, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what shall eat, what shall drink, nor yet for your body what shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Same word, in a verbal form. Take no thought, the worries of this life. Stop being anxious. Yes, the cares of this life, the anxieties of this life, food, water, what you will drink, what you will eat, what you will put on, our health, our jobs, our work, our career, our SMSs, our WhatsApp, our emails, even after we go home, whether we have to answer. Yes, the cares of this life, to some degree, are the necessities of life. We all face them. God knows that we do. Another passage uses the same term. The Apostle Paul says, I would have you without carefulness. He that is unmarried careth for the things that belong to the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he that is married careth for the things that are of the world, how he may please his wife. This is a passage encouraging in that context the people to be single, encouraging a life of singleness. Now, he's not saying if you get married, you're worldly. He's saying in that context, he's encouraging singleness. Why? Because if you have a wife and a family, you have additional cares. And fathers here this morning understand this. And it's not just physical, is it? You don't just want to give money to your family. You want to make sure that your children grow up well. You want to make sure the relationships are well stewarded, are well cared for. You want proper development. Not just money. Our spouse and children need time, energy, attention. Yes, there are cares. The third context in which Paul uses this, or Scripture uses this, 2 Corinthians 11:28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. This is a category of cares only Christians will have. Paul says, anxieties come with the burden of ministry, of spiritual ministries. There are cares that go beyond the physical. There are cares that go with a believing person. And this should be the reality for every believer. Your pastor has it. Spiritual care, caring for someone else, caring for a ministry that impacts someone else. And I hope you have this experience of spiritual cares. And the weight of it can get heavy. You know, people will tell you things that will be confidential. They will expect mutual care in the body of Christ, as much as your pastor cares. Yes, Scripture concedes, we experience the responsibility of anxieties. This is the true reality. This is the true gospel. We do experience, as Christians, the responsibility of anxieties. But how do we cope with the responsibilities and not yet get crushed by the burden? How do we cope with the responsibilities and not get crushed by the burden? The text says, casting all your care, all your anxieties upon Him. That term, cast, means to transfer. To transfer the burden of one's concern. Now, how do we do this? Think of fishing. If you like fishing, think of fishing. You throw a fishing line away from you. You exert effort to fling it away from you, to throw something away from yourselves. It describes a deliberate act. Now, in spiritual terms, as a Christian, how do I transfer my burden? How do I fling it from me? How do I do this? There's a passage in Scripture that tells us that we transfer our anxieties to God in prayerful submission. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, so familiar, it's probably been preached on before, but we pass over it. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. Same word. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Notice that there are four steps in the order of casting our cares. And if you're like me, I often ignore the first three and jump to number four. I request. And then I wonder why my burden is not transferred. Because the submission is not there. You see, there are four steps to casting our cares upon Him. First, there's prayer. Prayer is a general word for approaching God. It describes the stillness of the approach, the sit down and be quiet. You know, I like your service. It starts with stillness. God is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent. Be still. It's not easy in Singapore. Psalm 46 verse 10 says, be still and know that I am God. And that word be still in Hebrew means relax your grip. Relax your grip. Singaporeans are often known as people of action. We don't stop to be still, to relax our grip. When something happens, we say, plan of action, number one, two, three, four. We want to figure it out. We want to solve it. We want to get it done. We want to make it happen. And there's a place for that, but it won't take away the mental and emotional struggle, the burden of the anxiety. Can I suggest to you that the first place to go, the first item on your to-do list, is to acknowledge God, to be still and know that God is going to take care of it. You know, you may be the best CEO, the best teacher, the best problem solver, the best professor, counselor, engineer, lawyer, student, parent, spouse, father. But all of our skills and all of our personality, where does that come from? It comes from God. Like Job, when he heard that his children were all wiped out in a single day, what did the father Job do? Oh, he came before God. First thing he did, he came before God in all of his anguish. He came in the stillness of the approach to God. To be still and know I am God. Oh, there's prayerful submission because our Heavenly Father cares. Would you approach God first of all? And then, would you enter into this supplication? What is supplication? Big word. Well, I've showed you a picture of what is called garbage kids. It's a picture of kids browsing through the garbage in Phnom Penh. I had the privilege of visiting Phnom Penh in 1994. I delivered a lecture there on the burden of criminal proof. Well, the burden of proof in criminal cases in Singapore, in the University of Cambodia. But I walked on the streets and kids would run up to me and they would put out their hands. And what would you call them? What would you call them? Beggars. And that's what supplication is. When we acknowledge God, I am so needy, I am destitute, I am poor,
I need you. I ask for your supply. God, help. Oh, but many of us are not like that when we come in prayer before God. Oh, I wish you would all be like when you were at pastoral prayer, with knees bent and hearts bowed, and not daringly proud, standing and saying, God, I have all that I have. What can you do? Oh, the posture of our heart, supplication. Do we come before God in the stillness of the approach and then in the destitution of supplication? In the prayerful submission before a Heavenly Father who cares. God, I need you. I depend upon you wholly. You ask for supply. That's when 1 Peter 5:6 makes a lot more sense. Because before 1 Peter 5:7, there's 1 Peter 5:6. Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. You know, we think we have the answers. We think we are unwilling to acknowledge our need. We don't want to humble ourselves before God. Even on Sunday, when we come, we say, yeah, Pastor, what do you want to teach me? I heard it before. And in prayer, we say, God, what can you do for me? Oh, brothers and sisters, would you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God? Could you say, I'm a beggar. I have no resources of my own. Everything belongs to you. You know, sometimes in our pride, when things happen to us, we would even shake our fists against God and say, why, God? Why am I like that? Why is he not like that? Why you make me like that? Why do I have this and he doesn't? Why do I have cancer? Why does my son fall ill? Oh, we come before a loving Heavenly Father and we don't prayerfully submit to him. We shake our fists in pride. We almost challenge God and we wonder why we don't have the peace of God. Scripture says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and then there is thanksgiving. Oh, there's a hymn, count your blessings, name them one by one. What has God blessed us with? Your pastor prayed this morning in the words of the psalmist, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Oh, you know, he has blessed us with spiritual blessings in Christ, salvation that you and I don't deserve. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. There is true forgiveness of sin. And I know there are parents here, and I'm a parent too. You know, and parents, you know, we can't give to children who are bitter and complaining. My youngest son, Jariah, there are times, he's 6 years old, he comes, he complains, Daddy, why Coco like that? You give him this, don't give me this. He compares, he complains. You know what? I don't give him anything when he's that way. I wait until he corrects his attitude. I explain to him why he shouldn't complain. And then when he settles down into a humble and grateful spirit, and then if he comes, Daddy, I need your help. And I may be busy doing a sermon, helping someone else. I will stop. And I will help him. Because thankfulness is a hallmark of prayerful submission. For then we can request. And then we can get our answer. This is the answer. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And yes, the transfer has happened. I have casted my cares truly, because the peace of God will guard all of our wild thoughts and emotions. And one of the greatest anxieties I have is my own failure. You know, my own failure as a pastor, my own failure as a father, my own failure as a person. And I realize that God's grace can abound above all of our failures. We can be relieved of our weight. I can cast my cares on Him. We experience the responsibility of anxieties. Our text says we transfer our anxieties to God in prayer. And then it says transfer all our anxieties. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. That's a universal negative. But in everything, that's a universal positive. It's supposed to be this way. Everything, all of our cares. Scripture says, casting all your care upon Him. You know, don't hold some anxieties back. Cast it all. Nothing is too big and nothing is too small. I learned this the past week. I mean, I was on a trip with my son. We were in Malaysia. And you know, a lot of people travel, right, in Singapore. I mean, it's such a small thing that you fall sick. All of us fall sick. But I remembered I have to preach a new life this Sunday. And I was so anxious that I would not be able to preach because my voice would not hold, my fever would not run out. And I said, Lord, is this care too small to cast upon You? I mean, a lot of people get sick, a lot of people travel. But I had to apply what I was going to preach, casting all Your care upon Him. So, Lord, this is not too small a care. Lord, I cast it upon You. You care. No care is too small. The problem with some of us, we transfer halfway and we take it back. We start worrying again. Casting all your cares upon Him. Don't take it back, because the Apostle Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't take back the weight. After you've cast your care, now's the time to concentrate, to do what you have to do. You have to deal with the issue, deal with it. You have to preach this morning, you make sure you drink all the honey that you can get. We have cast our anxieties upon Him. We go forth confidently. We don't take back the anxiety. We experience the responsibility of anxieties. We transfer anxieties to God in prayer. We transfer all our anxieties. And there's a reason why we do all this. The text says, for He cares for you. That word for is the word because. This is the reason of our confidence. Because our Heavenly Father cares. It matters to God. Of all of the religions of this world, only the Judeo-Christian God says, I am your Heavenly Father and I care for you. Only our faith teaches that God cares for His children. Each of us matters to Him. And this is why on Father's Day, no matter what your situation is in life, you can look up at a Heavenly Father who cares. He's not just a mighty sovereign Lord all the way out there. He's a personal God of Jacob who cares for us. And as Christians, we do strain under the responsibility of anxiety, some more, some less, some very difficult.
We can cast all of the weight of anxieties upon God. We can transfer it to the Lord in prayer. Scripture says, if you ask your earthly father for bread, will he give you a stone? Of course not. How much more your heavenly Father? He knows the very numbers of hairs on your head that you don't know. There are details that are peculiar and personal to us that matter to him. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. This is Calvin Ma. I told him I'll be using his pictures. He's a heart transplant patient. It's a very rare case. We have maybe 4 heart transplants a year in Singapore. The waiting list is very long. He waited 8 years for a heart transplant. He was a heart pump patient. Everywhere he went, he had to carry a heart pump with him. 4 years ago, he was told that there was a match. He was very excited. He went to the hospital. He laid down, got ready for the operation, laid down on operating theater. The heart came in. It was flown in from somewhere else. They opened the box. The doctors told him, I'm so sorry, Calvin. It's a match. But this heart just won't do. He was crushed. This year, I got a call from him. He said, Pastor, they found a heart. It's my turn. It's really my turn, I think. But don't tell the church unless they really proceed. He had only been our member for 2 years. His family is still unsaved. He came to Christ. He went on the operating theater. This time it did proceed. 7 p.m., we activated our church for prayer. Early next morning, his wife got a call from the hospital. Get your children out from school. Your husband won't make it. He has rejected the heart. The children came. We prayed with them. The heart had to be kept pumping by a machine. It was a flat liner for over 48 hours. His heart, it wouldn't work by itself. We prayed. By God's grace, Brother Calvin Ma pulled through. Oh, God gave him life. I saw him a few weeks ago as his pastor. He said, Pastor, I want to eat ice cream. His favorite is the Wall Solario Lime Sorbet. And I shared the moment with him. Oh, simple pleasures of life, isn't it? I checked with the nurse before whether he could eat ice cream. But he couldn't. He's very grateful. 2 years ago when he became our member, I would journey with him. I meet him once every 2 weeks because he needed support. Can't work, his 2 teenage daughters, he can't rest properly. As a father, he feels hopeless and helpless. The burden so heavy, sometimes he would just send messages to me that he cries out to the Lord, how long, God? I can't work, I can't rest properly, I can't sleep at night. This burden is too heavy for me to bear. And there's a song that has helped him. Some of you may know that song. He who carried the weight of the world upon his shoulder, I know, my brother, that he will carry you. Oh, we have a Heavenly Father who cares and who will carry the weight of our burden. If we would cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. Let us pray.